Good morning. My name is Connie, and I will be your conference facilitator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mexico's Minister of Finance Quarterly Report on Public Finances and Public Debt, second quarter 2005. With us are Mr. Alonso García-Tamez, Under Secretary of Finance and Public Credit, Mr. Alejandro Werner, Head of the Economic Planning Unit, Mr. Gerardo Rodríguez, Head of the Public Credit Unit. All lines have been placed on muted to prevent any background noise. After the speaker remarks, there will be a question and answer period. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star and then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Now I leave with you Mr. Alonso García-Tamez. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, thank you, and very good morning to you all, and welcome to Mexico's Ministry of Finance conference call on public finances and public debt report for the second quarter of 2005. We will begin by making some comments about the most recent macroeconomic developments. After that, I will discuss the main elements of the public finance report for the second quarter of 2005, and then I will go over the latest developments regarding public debt policy. Finally, we will open the floor for questions, where I will be joined by Alejandro Werner, head of the Economic Planning Unit, and by Gerardo Rodríguez, who heads the Public Credit Unit, both at the Ministry of Finance. The economic expansion continued during the second quarter of 2005. Industrial production and services were the most dynamic sectors of the economy during this period. This expansion contributed to an increase of employment opportunities. The monthly GDP proxy, which is the IGAE index, grew 4.3% in the April-May period. This expansion points to a real annual GDP growth of around 4% during the second quarter. The number of employees insured at the Social Security Institute grew by almost 187,000 workers in the second quarter, which represents a 3.1% annual growth. In addition, from December 2004 to July 15 of this year, close to 318,000 net jobs were created. All the components of aggregate demand contributed to economic growth. A stronger labor market and growing banking credit promoted private spending. In the April-May period, retail sales increased at an annual rate of 6.2%, and sales by the National Association of Large Retailers increased 8% annually in the second quarter. Total investment posted a 12.3% annual growth in April. Mexico's foreign trade grew at a fast pace in the second quarter. Total exports increased 13.4% in annual terms. Regarding its components, manufacturing exports grew 9.9%, while agricultural and extractive exports increased at 28.6% and 22.6% respectively. Additionally, exports of oil products went up 34.2% in annual terms. Total imports grew 12.2% at an annual rate. The most dynamic components were consumption and capital good imports, which grew 22.5% and 16.3% in annual terms, respectively. The third component, intermediate imports, grew also at 10% on annual terms. Inflation slowed down in the second quarter. Annual inflation was 4.33% in June, just below that of the end of the first quarter, which amounted for 4.39%. As lower growth of administered prices and core inflation accounted for this reduction. Stable conditions also allowed for a continuing fast expansion of credit to households and businesses. Direct banking credit to the private sector grew above 30% in annual terms in June. Consumer credit and mortgages grew at an annual rate of 44.4% and 45.1% respectively. credit to businesses increased at a rate above 20% on annual terms. Summing up, the Mexican economy maintained its strength during the first 6 months of the year, and growth is expected to strengthen further in the second half of the year. Let me now move to review the most relevant figures related to the public finances for the first half of the year. During this part of the year, the fiscal balance accumulated a surplus of close to 42 billion pesos and a primary surplus of more than 154 billion pesos. Revenues in the first semester reached almost 952 billion pesos, which is 3.7% higher in real terms than those of the same period in 2004. These revenues exceeded 42.2 billion pesos, the amount projected in the fiscal plan, as a result of the following. First, 26.5 billion pesos from oil revenues. Second, 15.8 billion pesos from public entities under direct budgetary control other than Pemex. Third, 3.4 billion pesos from non-oil tax revenues, and a reduction due to the non-tax federal government revenues, which amounted for 3.1 billion pesos below the program. Oil revenues grew 7% in real terms due to the increase in international oil prices. Non-oil tax revenues grew 4.2% in the first semester in real annual terms. Among its components, we have the value-added tax revenue, which grew 6.2%, and income tax collection, which grew 3.5% in real terms. In the first half of the year, the public sector's total budgetary expenditure was 909 billion pesos, which is 6.5% more in real terms than the previous year. It stands out that fiscal budgetary investment and investment fostered by public sector increased 11.4% and 6.6% in real terms, respectively. The financial cost of the public sector increased 16.1% in real terms with respect to the first quarter of last year. This was mainly due to the fixed rate bond coupon payments that this year took place in June rather than in July, as it was the case in 2004. Taking this into account, for purposes of annual comparison, the financial cost increased at a rate of 4.9% in real terms as a result of higher interest rates. Let me now move to comment the most relevant figures on public debt. In the second quarter of 2005, as has been the case since the beginning of this administration, the debt strategy was aimed at financing the public sector needs at the lowest public, at the lowest possible cost over a medium and long-term perspective. This subject to a prudent level of risk. In this context, the federal government continued to work in achieving a better balance between internal and external debt and in increasing the average maturity and duration of public debt portfolio in order to reduce vulnerability of public finances to shocks in internal and external financial variables. The results of this strategy have contributed to the stability of the Mexican economy and the sound development of the local financial markets. At the end of the second quarter of 2005, Mexico's net public sector debt totaled 23.1% of GDP, which is one tenth of one percentage point lower than the figure which was registered at the end of 2004. The result is attributable to an increase in net internal debt of 0.8 percentage points of GDP with respect to the level recorded at the end of last year, and a decrease in net external debt of 0.9 percentage points of GDP with respect to that same date. These results reflect the policy decision outlined in the economic program for the year of financing entirely the public sector deficit in the domestic financial markets, as has been the case in the four previous fiscal years. Focusing on the domestic debt, let me mention that at the end of the first quarter, the net domestic debt of the federal government totaled 1,083.5 billion pesos, a figure which is 53.5 billion pesos higher than that that was registered at the end of 2004. The result is attributable to net borrowings of 59.4 billion pesos, an increase in the domestic financial assets of the federal government of 7.7 billion pesos, and finally, upward accounting adjustments of 1.8 billion pesos associated with inflation index debt. The relative participation of nominal fixed government bonds with tenors equal to or greater than 1 year in the total outstanding amount of domestic government securities increased from 44.7% at the end of 2004 to 46.6% at the end of the first semester of this year. Similarly, during the first 6 months of the year, the average maturity of government securities increased by 70 days to reach 1,141 days. On the external debt front, at the end of the first quarter, total net external debt amounted $73.6 billion, a figure which is 4.4 billion lower than the figure registered at the end of 2004. The result was due to a net reduction in indebtedness of 2.9 billion, an increase in the federal government external financial assets of $0.7 billion, and downward accounting adjustments for 0.8 billion US dollars. Among the external debt operations that took place in the second quarter of this year, I would like to emphasize the following two transactions. First, in May, the government issued 250 million Swiss franc with a 7-year tenor. The bond pays a coupon and a yield to maturity of 3%, which was equivalent at the time to that it was issued to a spread of 97 basis points over the swap rate. The issue represented the first time Mexico accessed this market, which, as you know, only demands high-quality paper. In June, the federal government issued 750 million bond in euros with a 10-year tenor. The issue pays a coupon of 4.25% and a yield to maturity of 4.31%, which was equivalent at the time of issue to a spread of 107 basis points over the swap rate in euros. I would also like to take this opportunity to comment on a more recent operation that has a significant role in the determination of our overall debt financing strategy for the remainder of the administration. As you know, a few days ago, the federal government completed the pre-funding of all external market debt amortizations for 2006 and 2007. In particular, the government purchased almost $2.9 billion from Banco de Mexico's international reserve position, which, when added to the liquidity provided by the external pre-financing operations that I previously mentioned, allowed us to obtain resources in foreign currency for a total amount which is enough to cover all the external market debt amortizations program for the next 2 years and which total 4,767 million US dollars. This transaction entailed the following benefits. First, the one that I just mentioned, which is that we complete the financing requirements to face the market obligations of 2006 and 2007. Second, that we continue to improve the composition of the federal government debt. The operation results in a more adequate mixture between external and internal debt, reducing the ratio of net liabilities denominated in foreign currencies to total net liabilities. It is estimated that this ratio decreased after the transaction in approximately 2 percentage points, passing from around 40 to approximately 38%. I would like to emphasize that this operation did not reduce the federal government's total net debt, as the net internal debt increased in an equivalent measure. Third, from an asset liability point of view, the transaction allowed us to reduce the vulnerability of public finances to external shocks, since we were able to reduce the sensitivity of public debt financial cost to fluctuations in external interest rates and to the exchange rate. Overall, the operations I mentioned before are part of our debt management strategy intended to reduce the share of external debt in the federal government debt and diversify our sources of external funding, and in this way improve the resilience of our fiscal stance. Finally, I would like to reiterate our commitment to strengthen the structure of the public debt portfolio. In this context, we will continue to carry out the necessary operations to ensure the most favorable cost conditions for our debt in the medium and long terms, given a prudent level of risk. And with this, I will finish my presentation, and we can now proceed to the question and answer section. Thank you very much.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, press a star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Once again, to ask a question, press a star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Alonso Cervera, the CSV.
Thank you. My question is regarding the reform to the Pemex fiscal regime that was approved in an extraordinary session in the summer. There have been some press reports stating that the Minister of Finance is not necessarily happy with what was approved. Can you comment on this, please? Thanks.
Thank you, Alonso. Yes. Okay. We are still analyzing the impact that this Pemex fiscal reform would have on the public finances. We are in that in that process. We have not made any decision on how we will proceed. There are some there are some reports that states are kind of worried because the guarantee on the income that corresponds to these to the states was not preserved in the final version of the law. So that could generate some motions from these states to look for a review or for a change in what was approved. I could not give you any more comments. We still have. The executive branch of the government still has until September the 1st to decide on whether this could be this law could be vetoed on or it remains the way it is. No?
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Suhas Ketkar from RBS.
Good morning. My question has to do with non-oil revenues, which, as you said, went up by 4.6% year-on-year in first half. But if my arithmetic is right, they went up by only about 2% in June, this June compared with last June. If that is so, then this latter figure doesn't really match the apparent acceleration in growth that occurred in June. Can you comment on that? And also, look at the second half of the year and see if it's at some stage this kind of fiscal performance would require automatic stabilizers to come in effect?
Yes, Mr. Werner is going to take that question.
Yeah, regarding the first question, that is the behavior of non-oil tax revenues in June versus June of last year. Obviously, the monthly numbers are very volatile, so in that sense, it is hard to assess whether revenue is following what is happening with income or not. When you take the first half of the year and you look at the evolution of VAT, for example, revenues, you see a very close connection with the behavior of VAT and the behavior of consumption, and the same is true when you look at income tax revenues for the first half vis-a-vis income tax revenue. Income tax revenue in the first half of the year with the growth that we have had in economic activity. When you look specifically at the June numbers, what you see is that there was, as you mentioned, an important deceleration in revenues related to a deceleration in income tax revenue. Income tax revenue came below what we had programmed for this month, and a lot had to do with paybacks against this tax that we made to taxpayers in the month of June that have increased at a significant rate. So what we think is that part of this slowdown will be transitory and is associated to this increase in these tax returns that we made to taxpayers, and that will be out of the way after the summer. What was the second question? Oh, the automatic stabilizers. We don't, basically, we don't expect the automatic stabilizers to come in at this point, given that total revenues is coming above what was programmed, basically associated with the increase in the price of oil. So basically what we are applying now are the rules that are established in the budget to distribute excess revenues related to oil. As you all know, basically these rules as they are applied this year are the following. The ADE, that is the extra tax that is charged on Pemex when the price of oil is above the one that is that was budgeted on its exports revenues, is distributed 50% to the states and 50% to Pemex. The rest of the excess oil revenue goes to the line J of Article, 19 of the budget decree, where we mix all of the excess revenues together in one bag, and if that bag presents additional revenues from the one that the ones that were programmed, they are divided 50% to Pemex, 25% to the Oil Stabilization Fund, and 25% to improve the result of the budget deficit. So this year, basically, we have been giving money to the states and Pemex related to the ADE and related to the line J of this Article 19 of the budget. We still have not shown additional revenues. This the sum of all these revenues is still slightly below what was programmed. From this second rule, we haven't been distributed oil windfalls because we haven't had them, because they have been compensated by other income that is coming below what was programmed, basically non-oil, non-tax income associated with revenues from Banco de Mexico and other non-tax revenues. Thank you.
At this time, there are no further questions, sir. Your next question comes from Luis Arcentales de Morgan Stanley.
A quick question on the ARE. How much did you transfer? I read in your report that you handed the first quarter money back to the states. What was the amount?
It's the total amount for the ARE is 1,300 million pesos, 1.3 billion pesos, which is divided in on equal parts between Pemex and the states.
Perfect. And just a quick follow-up. There's been talk that some states are looking into increasing taxes to offset the potential loss from the change to the Pemex fiscal regime. How do you see this moving forward?
They have the ability to work on some on some local taxes, and they have had this ability, this possibility expressly granted in the law for several years now. They have not used possibility. No, they have better relied on the, on other sources of income, which are less politically less controversial. So, at least I have not heard of anyone yet seriously considering that possibility. But
thank you.
It's open.
If you would like to make a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions, sir.
Okay, then I will thank you again for attending this conference call, and we'll talk to you again in the following one. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This concludes the conference call. Now you may disconnect.